morning, good afternoon, good evening, good middle of the night, wherever you may find yourself around the world.
Hey there, welcome back to DevelopPod. I'm always excited to introduce our guests on this program, but I think you've got a special treat in store today. I'm talking to Eduardo Amos, writer of a textbook, a series of textbooks called Students for Peace by Richmond Publishing. This series won the ELT Award for Excellence in Course Innovation in the Eltons Awards. That was back in 2017. It's a series based on the concept that Educating for Peace is about educating people to be able to listen to others, to be able to accept different points of view, and to respect diversity. So without further ado, over to Eduardo. Thank you so much for joining us, Eduardo.
Thank you, Christian, for inviting me. It's a great pleasure to be here participating in this podcast.
Thank you. And I believe you're in Brazil at the moment. Is that right, Eduardo?
Right. Toward the end of our summer, the tropical summer.
It's almost summer here in Brighton, too.
All right.
I believe you've written a very interesting book, and it's entitled Students for Peace. What motivated you to write this series?
Well, it's a long story, but I'll make it short. You see, as a textbook writer, I have the opportunity to travel around my country, visiting schools, talking to teachers, meeting with students. And that gives me the chance to have a clear picture of the real Brazilian educational system. And what I noticed was that the school environment in Brazil was deeply marked and impacted by things like conflicts of all sorts, violence, and all that violence had a direct impact on the students' academic performance. And that's worried me. I started to feel very much worried about all that. And I felt uncomfortable at the same time. I wanted to do something, but I didn't know what or how. After all, I was just an English teacher and a textbook writer. So I started doing some research on my own. You know, I didn't know where I want to go. But I start doing it anyway, start reading articles, books, going to seminars, congresses. And then all of a sudden I came across the concept of peace education. And I said, well, that may be it. Let me take a closer look. And I start reading articles about peace education, attending conferences and meetings. And then I discovered there is a study group on peace education and tolerance at the University of Campinas here in Brazil. So pretty soon I became a member of the group. I joined the group and I started doing my research on peace education. And then an idea came to my mind. Why don't I bring together these two separate things, that's English language teaching and peace education? At first, it was quite a challenge. When I told my peers at the group, they said, how are you going to do that? They are two different things. I said, well, that's a challenge. Let's see what happens. So I started working on the book, on the idea of bringing together these two separate concepts. And it took me 7 years to bring together peace education and English language teaching. 7 years from the very moment I had the idea until I got the message from my editor saying, see, all the books are in the warehouse. And that was a great feeling of accomplishment.
I imagine.
So this is basically how the idea came about.
What a fantastic idea. And the books themselves, I believe there are four books, is that
yep.
right, at the moment?
Yeah.
What kind of topics and themes do these course books present?
I must tell you that throughout the process of putting the books together, everything that was in my mind was the Brazilian educational system. I had no intention of the book to go around, travel to other countries. Everything was set for the Brazilian students, the Brazilian teachers. And in this regard, the topics were very important because the topic of each chapter is what provides the opportunity to tackle the issues related to peace education. So I had to be very careful about it. And also, the topic of the chapter is that requires the teaching of specific grammar items. So everything depends on the chapter. And I must confess that one of the hardest part of the process was choosing what topic to cover. To give you an example of how the topic determines everything in the chapter, I would like to give you an example. Like, let's say, the very first chapter of the series, chapter one in book one.
Which is elementary?
Yes. As a matter of fact, the book is for the middle school segment, going from sixth grade to ninth grades.
Okay.
So the very first topic is identity, because that's the beginning of everything. I have to start to talk about myself in order to go out to the world. And since identity was the first topic, I need a certain grammar structure to talk about my identity. That's where the verb to be in the simple present comes first. So the topic requires the grammar item I'm going to teach, and also peace education issues I'm going to cover through and discuss throughout the chapter.
Turning to something perhaps a little more serious, what is the relevance of peace education in the current world context? And is that perhaps now more relevant than it ever was, than it was perhaps a decade or so ago?
The way I see things, the world, is that peace education has been relevant and necessary since the beginning of the world, since the caveman era. And the way I see it again, peace education is needed now more than in any other period of the human history. And I say that because we are living in a period of the history of mankind when we have the power to destroy the whole planet and extinguish all kinds of life forever. So this is why peace education is a crying theme. You see, right now, at this very moment, one of the world's superpower plans to invest $5 billion to build a wall. At the same time, China, for example, plans to invest that in artificial intelligence. And as you remember, China built a wall 800 years ago, and it didn't work. So the idea is not building wall, but building bridges. So that's why peace education is really very relevant. The idea is that peace education helps build bridges to reach out to the different people, to different cultures. This is why I think it's very, very relevant.
And do you think English teachers should really be involved in fighting for social issues such as peace? And if so, why? I remember a time when I did my first teaching course, and I remember my Trinity TESOL teacher very specifically saying to us, you are English teachers, that's what you are, and don't have an agenda, that's dangerous. So how would you respond to that? Why should English teachers really be involved?
That's what people told me in my beginning of my teaching career. Yes, absolutely, I do believe teachers should tackle this issue and bring into the classroom. There's no way we can close our ears and close our eyes to what's going on outside the classroom. And yes, when it gets to issues going beyond the classroom walls, things get even more dangerous. And this is something we English teachers are part of too. Consider, for example, the fact that our students, when you talk about teenagers, they are involved in this digital world, the world of the social media. Sure. And that means they are very close to cyberbullying. And this is something that impacts our classroom. So there's no way we can close our eyes to it. So we have to be able to bring this thing into our classroom. But I realize, on the other hand, that in order to do that, we must get information the more information, the better. And we must get training. The more trained we are, the better we will be able to tackle these issues in the classroom. Because at the same time, we must respect each student's identity, their individual personalities. But we still have to be able to deal with these issues, which I know they are very difficult to deal with.
For what it's worth, I most definitely agree with you. I think the classroom is a microcosm of the macrocosm. And if we can learn to be peaceful in a positive way within that microcosm, then it affects the macrocosm. They're interdependent for sure. So what kind of training do teachers need in order to take a greater role in this respect?
If you think about an ELT classroom right now in the 21st century, I should say nonviolent communication is the very first, the top priority item. We should be able to communicate with our students nonviolently. And by doing that, we will be teaching them to do the same, working with nonviolent communication and reading articles, attending meetings and congresses about this issue. Like IATEFL has a special interest group called Global Issues, which addresses these issues.
In fact, our pre-conference event, we're running with the Global Issues SIG. So the Teacher Development SIG and the Global Issues SIG have joined up this year in April in Liverpool. We're addressing these very issues of global justice and how to bring those into the classroom. I'll be looking towards employing that idea of positive communication or nonviolent communication in the classroom. But it'd be interesting to see whether really the support and the funding for that as teachers in schools, that would be fantastic. In state schools, perhaps in a supported environment, that might be possible. But in individual private schools, I wonder. I think IATEFL could play a greater part in that in the future.
Definitely, yes, I believe so.
How has the series been received by teachers and students? Have you had any feedback and what's it been?
I am the kind of author who is very close to teachers. I manage two different social medias of teachers in Brazil. So I have a close contact with them. And in the beginning, the series was received with a lot of suspicious eyes. And I understand that because after all, the books were so different from everything they had ever seen, they had ever worked with.
Do you mean they were suspicious in terms of how sound they were pedagogically?
Yes. And the first question after the teacher just browsed through the books, they asked me, but where are the grammar exercises? Where are the translation exercises? Where are the oral drills, the mechanical oral drills, the repetitive oral drills? And there was nothing like that. On the other hand, there were activities in which the students were the protagonists. So this was a very different situation. It was something new, and the teachers were very much concerned about that. A lot of training was necessary in terms of preparing the teachers to use the book.
Okay. And it's been received well more recently after that training?
After that, this very first contact, the teachers really understood the principles and they embraced the idea. I'm very happy to get comments from the teachers that say, this is my book. So this is the idea I wanted. This is what I wanted. Teachers feel that the book respond to their demands. And they report greater students' motivation and involvement. The students are more involved with the activities. And that impacted on problems of discipline in the classroom. And so the classroom environment changed a lot after they started using the book. So this is what I wanted after all.
Very interesting. Have you managed to get any direct feedback from students themselves?
Yes. Just last week, I got a lot of feedback from the students based on chapter one of book three, which title is Timeline. Mm-hmm. And the idea that time passes for everything, for everyone. The students produced a timeline with photographs, pictures of their lives when they were babies, when they were toddlers, till recent pictures. So a series of four or five pictures depicting how they developed. And so they sent me the pictures and they made comments about it, and I produced my own timeline and sent them to their teachers through our social media, and the teachers saw them. So it was a way of communicating with the students.
Let me just ask you, what are the plans from that in terms of the book? Where are you going now with it? Any plans to take it global?
As a matter of fact, the book is traveling. They are planning to launch the book this year in Europe. There's going to be an event in Turkey this coming month of March. Mm-hmm. My working schedule won't make it possible for me to go there, but somebody from Brazil is going to Turkey to launch the book there. There is this global version, because the version we have now, the first version was produced for the Brazilian scenario. Mm-hmm. But now we have a global version being launched this coming March.
I look forward to that, and I hope the director of studies at the school I work at invests in that. So I'll put in a good word for you.
All right, thank you.
Or for global peace, should I say.
Yeah.
And congratulations. I understand that you've been nominated, or the book's been nominated, for the ELTONs, the awards in ELT, entrepreneurship and design. Well done on that.
Thank you. Nobody writes a book to win a prize or an award. So you can imagine how I felt when the book was nominated for the ELTONs. And even my surprise was when the envelope was opened and Students for Peace was declared the winner for the ELTONs for Excellence in Course Innovation. I not even in my wildest dream, I ever thought a book of mine would get such an important prize. So it was an honor for me, and I'm very proud of the series.
Well done, Eduardo. Yes, well done indeed. What an achievement.
And I do hope the book may go on helping teachers and students to build a more peaceful world.
Yeah, that's what we need. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been really enlightening and quite inspiring.
Thank you very much for the invitation. It was a great opportunity to meet you and to talk to you.
Okay, peace be with you.
Wow, what a fantastic episode with Eduardo. Hey, I'm Tyson, your friendly neighborhood TDSIG coordinator. How relevant the whole episode has been to everyone, but specifically our upcoming pre-conference event with Global Issue SIG in Liverpool on the intersection of social justice and teacher development. From a variety of angles, I'm looking forward to our 8 speakers from around the world talking about social justice considerations in their teaching contexts that represent, and I quote, a microcosm of the macrocosm. Great quote, Christian. I can't wait, and I hope to see you there. If you haven't chosen a PCE yet, you can still register. Apart from this, maybe you'll join us at Innovate ELT in Barcelona in May. The organizers are really excited to have you there, so they're offering a 20% discount on conference fees just for TDSIG members only. You can find out more and register through the links on our website, tdsig.org. Really hope to see you somewhere. Have a great day.